Most states that ban abortion have an exception if a pregnancy endangers a patient's life. But how close to death must a person be in order to qualify for an abortion? NPR's Selena Simmons-Duffin has a story of one woman in Oklahoma whose doctors were forced to make that calculation. Now, it's a story that includes some disturbing details.
Before February, J.C. Staton wasn't particularly focused on Oklahoma's abortion bans.
I kind of was like, well, that's not going to affect me.
She's 25 and lives in central Oklahoma with her husband and their three kids, 2 7-year-olds and an 8-year-old. They are a blended family with 2 kids from J.C.'s previous marriage and 1 from her husband's. Her husband, Dustin Staton, is an oil field technician, and her whole family goes fishing every day.
And I have 2 dogs. I got to throw that in there, too.
She and Dustin were using birth control, but took a if-it-happens-it-happens attitude towards pregnancy, she says. Then, in mid-February, she started to feel sick, nauseous and dizzy and weak. After several trips to the hospital, a blood test confirmed she was pregnant.
So we got excited, picked out baby names, bought baby stuff.
When she was in her kitchen a few weeks later, on February 28th, she felt faint.
I felt like I was going to pass out, and I just looked down, and there is blood everywhere. My husband, like, grabbed the kids, grabbed me, went to the emergency room.
The hospital staff did her blood work several times and said the results were confusing and that she was probably having a miscarriage. The next day, at an appointment with her OBGYN, she learned she actually had a partial molar pregnancy, which happens when 2 sperm fertilize the same egg or 1 sperm fertilizes an egg and then duplicates. The result is an embryo with too much genetic material and a placenta that is a mass of cysts. JC says her doctor told her,
it is non-viable, like it is potentially cancerous.
On the ultrasound, her doctor showed her how the embryo was surrounded by grape-like cysts.
One of them had ruptured, causing me to bleed. And she had explained, like, if more rupture, you could bleed out.
The treatment for JC's condition is a dilation and curettage, or DNC, an abortion procedure that clears pregnancy tissue out of the uterus. Even though the embryo would never develop into a baby, there was fetal cardiac activity. JC's doctor said she couldn't treat her at the Catholic hospital where she works. JC was transferred to another hospital, then another, Oklahoma Children's Hospital. She says medical staff there told her that her condition was serious.
You, at the most, will last maybe 2 weeks.
But still, fetal cardiac activity was detectable, and the doctors would not provide a DNC. When all of this was happening, Oklahoma had 4 different abortion bans on the books, and several had an extremely narrow exception that said, abortion is only legal if the patient's life is in danger and it's a medical emergency. Here's what JC remembers her doctors telling her.
They were very sincere. They weren't trying to be mean or say this bad, but they said, the best we can tell you to do is sit in the parking lot. And if anything else happens, we will be ready to help you. But we cannot touch you unless you are crashing in front of us or your blood pressure goes so high that you are fixing to have a heart attack.
At the hospital, sometimes it was hard for JC to follow what was happening. She was so sick and weak, but she could tell how upset her husband Dustin was. He requested a meeting with the hospital ethics board, she says, but was refused.
I look over and he is just like head in his hands, this huge, like 6-foot guy. I remember him saying, he was like, I'm going to lose you, I'm going to lose our baby, and I'm going to lose my other 2 kids.
Those are the children from JC's previous marriage.
He's like, I lose everything, I lose my family.
In a written statement, a spokesperson for OU Health, which runs both Oklahoma hospitals where JC Staton was seen, said the health system complies with all state and federal laws and regulations. By March 8th, over a week since she was diagnosed,
one of the doctors who was explaining to us that we needed to either go to Colorado, Kansas, New Mexico.
Places where abortion is legal and she could be treated without waiting. Someone connected the family to the Trust Women Clinic in Wichita, Kansas, and she was able to get in for an appointment 2 days later. By this point, she was 9 weeks pregnant. She drove to Kansas with her husband and mother-in-law, hoping she wouldn't bleed on the drive.
It was probably the longest 3 hours of my life in that vehicle.
When she finally got to the clinic, she found herself sitting alone in the procedure room, and for the first time, she started to cry.
All the emotions, all my thoughts, like, caught up with me right there. And I sat in there by myself and just cried and cried. And then the doctors and then the nurses come in, and they just sat with me and talked to me and held my hand. Sorry. Like, I really appreciate of all of them.
After the abortion, when she was stable enough to leave, she went out to the car where Dustin and her mother-in-law were waiting. As they drove past the front of the clinic, they covered JC's face with a blanket so she wouldn't see or hear the anti-abortion protesters.
My husband still has nightmares about it.
JC Staton is still recovering. She needs to have her pregnancy hormone levels checked for weeks, maybe as long as 6 months, to make sure no cancer is developing. Physically, she still feels weak and tired, and mentally, it's been rough, she says. She says she is pro-life, but she's decided to speak publicly about her experience because she thinks Oklahoma's abortion laws are dangerous and need to change. Selena Simmons-Duffin, NPR News.